The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try.
All right, we are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report today on this Wednesday, 16th day of May, 2018. And, Steve,
yeah.
It's kind of amazing the people that think that they're helping you, but they are really not. I'll give you an example. Over the years, we've had people that wanted to start their own networks. So their idea of starting their own network was not developing their own product and distributing it. They thought that if I pick this program and I pick up the stream live here and I cherry pick and I do this and I that, and I'm calling that a network. Well, okay, but understand that the people that are producing this, it's the one that's costing them the money. It doesn't cost you anything except a good internet connection. And if you're pretty good at putting a web page together, guess what? It's just a little bit of your labor. And you are taking the creative stuff that other people are doing that are having to grind it out every day. I was talking with Robert Ravel today, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, your Sunday night program on this network, I said, I don't think there's any other board op that could run your show. It is that involved. But the guy that I have, Ken, that runs the second shift on the weekends, he loves doing this. And he particularly likes doing Robert Raybould's program because it's so challenging. And I said, you know, I don't think any other board op in this place could hang with you, man. He said, and if that were the case, I'd have to change the format of my show. And I said, and that's the one thing that I don't want to do. But most people, they don't even recognize that you need good people. And you have to keep them. I don't know what I would do without Dan in the mornings or Mikey here at night and the guys on the weekends, Sam and Ken. You know,
no, I agree with you. I love these guys. They do a super job. And I normally work with Sam on my show on Sunday.
Right.
But I've worked with Dan and Ken. I've worked with them all, Mike. Yeah. Super guys. Yeah, you've got a good team. You got to keep a good team. And I'm just happy working with these guys myself.
Well, and it's you aim for consistency, and that is the key to anything in life, and I don't care what you're tackling. But that's just a small part of it, just to keep the crew here, to continue operations day after day. Forget the technical problems. We got one right now that, for some reason, our archives decided they wanted to up and break. And we're feverishly, we've got two or three people working on this, looking at it, trying to find the problem. It'll be up for 5 hours, and then it'll be down. Then it'll be up, and then it'll be down. And we are fully aware of this, and we're working feverishly to correct the problem. But it's equipment, programs break, bills have to be paid, expenses, they don't stop. And people think, and here's the irony to this, Steve, that people think they can go out and do their own thing. Well, as I was referring to other people taking other people's programming, we're going to the expense of producing it. I mean, it's part of the network. You can break it down to hourly cost, And this is what it cost us. Forget the fact that archives remain property of the network. We've had people that left that said, wait a minute, no, that's my stuff. No, excuse me. No, it's not. It's property of the network. It is copyrighted at any rate. But that's not the deal. The illustrated point here is that people think that they're doing you a favor by doing this, and the only thing they're doing is zapping the numbers from the network. You know, the people that listen to the archives, or the people that listen to the live streaming, it dilutes the power that we're able to build up. You build up, and then it deletes. And then you build up, and then it deletes. It's a process, and sometimes it's aggravating. And I'm not admonishing people. I just want them to understand that the people that are actually doing the work should be the ones that receive the reward. You know, and I don't think that's that. I don't think that that's being outlandish. I don't think that it's being narcissistic. I don't think it's even being selfish. It's just that we have managed to stay around for a decade since the greatest depression that ever hit this country hit. And through the good graces of people that know and understand what we're doing, that send in donations, or the people that have partook in the Front Sight offer, you know, program that's, in my estimation, for anybody that's a gun owner, they should have. And I did a little thing yesterday. I said I wasn't going to ever repeat this again, but I, yeah, send your best and have them teach other people, okay? Send the people that are able to absorb and then be able to, in turn, impart that wisdom on other people. I know not everybody would love to go to Front Sight, you know, but some people can't. But if you do, if you got a group, you're going to send somebody out, do that. Teach those that can, in turn, teach others. So, you know, we're all in this one together here. We're all in it together. And by God, I know one thing the other side has in mind. That we cease to exist.
No, I agree. We're dedicated to the goal, the same goal, truth telling, open debate, talk about the issues, and I'm right there. I mean, this is a great network, and I'm a little biased because I'm part of the network now and a host on the network. But I was sold on RBN back in, I think, 2014 when I first caught you guys. And started listening to, and I started listening. Wow, I've heard stuff I've never heard before. I can't believe they're saying that, but that's pretty gutsy because that's the same thing I'm saying without having a voice, a mic. But and you're never going to hear this talk on mainstream media. You will never ever hear people talking about these issues or pointing fingers of blame where they deserve to be pointed. And that's what I love about this network is that we're able to do that. And we have an open forum. We have call-in lines. People call. They get activated. Hopefully they share the information with other people. That's what this network, to me, is all about, sharing the information and talking about the issues and debating the issues. We're not always going to be right, but we're accountable for what we talk about.
Yeah. Steve?
Yeah.
Make me a BLT. I'll be right down to heaven.
Hey, can I do one plug real quick here? I've got a special guest coming on Sunday by the name of Karen Smith. Now, she's an expatriate from South Africa, now living around your area there in Texas, Lubbock, Texas now. She's an activist, and she's been on RENS. She's been on a couple networks. I snagged her for this Sunday for a two-hour show. She's bringing a guest with her. We're going to be talking about the South African white genocide and then migrate over in the second hour talking about white genocide in this country, but of a different nature. Talking about the illegal immigration issue and how the white Anglo-Saxon American here is disappearing. And I guess some of the statistics saying by the year 2044 to 2050, if the continued immigration back door is open, illegal immigration coming in, we will be a minority in our own country. We're going to be talking about that and the South African, what's going on there. Now they're having an issue with white genocide and the United States government's to sit back on. Just like they did with Rwanda, they didn't care. So she'll be my guest and on the entire show for Sunday, Karen Smith.
Well,
check it out.
It's kind of
off
like
the beaten path Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
You know, it's kind of the Tower of Babel kind of thing, that you group people together that they don't understand each other, they don't know the culture, they don't know the language, and overtly This is a program by the globalist to confound and confuse, to cause chaos, and actually break down society and cultures in respective countries. That's really what's behind this, balkanization. Yeah, well, that ought to be an interesting show. I think I'll tune in for that.
Yeah, yeah, it is. She's a sharp lady. I've talked to her before. Actually, I was part of a broadcast a couple weeks ago with her on another network, just a one-time deal. But sharp lady, she's going to have a lot of good information to share about what's going on over there, and she's very in tune what's going on here in this country, as she's a citizen here now. We are being erased. Our culture is being taken away. Statues coming down. History rewritten. Language, religion. It's pointing in the direction of globalism. No identity anymore as an American. So we'll be talking about that.
All righty, Steve. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, John.
Appreciate it. Mark in Florida? Georgia. Mark in Georgia.
Georgia. Well, it's just from the Greek word for farmer.
What's on your mind?
You know, unlike the politicians who spread BS, and I'm more like trying to sow the good seed. So I appreciate your concerns about people calling themselves Christian, which common misconception, that word's only used three times in the entire New Testament, and never once in a positive way. It's the first time it's just a neutral observation. The other two times it's got actually a negative connotation to it. But I think if people confuse it, they mean by it being a follower of Christ, it's like, yeah, you ought to try it sometime. How about let's look at the verses you guys keep skipping over, right?
Yeah, and it's critical. And Mark, I hope I made my point clear here, that it's not time to eat yourself. You know, don't be the snake that eats its own tail. That we're going to need everybody focused on the right thing. And I think people are frustrated now. I think they're feeling disenchanted or disempowered. So they're striking out at their own kind.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that I haven't been there that often since I've moved up here to Cartersville, which is a long drive from where I'm actually officially a church member. This guy's saying, well, there's really nothing we can do. And I'm like, God, that's straight from Satan. You know, it's like, excuse me, we have power. It's just, you know, if you sit on it and you take this view that we're powerless, then that's the way you're going to behave. And the power is that the truth is there. And truth has, you know, that lies are only going to have power as long as people believe them. And the problem people need to understand is, you know, like I've been known to say, these politicians, they quote Scripture almost as well as Satan himself. And when it comes to this Scofield Reference Bible in particular, I'm like, excuse me, you people ought to know better. And that doesn't make you bad people unless you persist in choosing to be ignorant, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I want Ron to know that I'll never eat at one of his restaurants again unless I lose a bet. Just, God loves him, but, you know, that's a joke. But once I get him my inheritance, I'd like to help him see. I guess I'll go on and see what I can find in the way of... Now, when you say DVD printer, are you talking about the thing that prints the images on the front side of the DVD, or are you talking about the burner that puts the data on the...
No. I'm not talking about burning it. I'm just talking about labeling it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess you don't want to print out like a laser printer onto labels that you have those things that stick on there. You want things that actually print onto
DVD
itself.
Well, that's an expensive process. No, it's the old style, print it out by a printer and stick it on. They actually make little devices that you put the label on the thing. Sticky side up, and then you put the DVD on it, and you press it down, and it adheres to it.
Yeah, that could be very labor-intensive, though.
Yeah, but also, you got to do a balance between cost, and I'm running a field here. Ron Neal knows more about that. That's the guy you should be talking to, not me.
maybe I ought to get in touch with him, and like I say, it's going to be in about another month or so, give or take, and I'd rather it be sooner than later. And just yesterday, I was looking at this car that I hope to get that I can go do and Lyft and Uber. And I trust as long as I don't embarrass you, you don't mind me putting RepublicBroadcasting.org because you can handle the truth where it's there right where my passengers can see it as I'm driving around and chatting with people about
You'll know about how people, if you have repeat customers, you'll know one of these times when they hop in your Uber car. They'll give you the feedback.
Lyft, Uber, same difference.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, I want to expose people, and I want to, you know, it's like I say, I want you to know, I want to be respectful in a way I challenge you to think. I don't, it's like this young lady who said, well, you don't really know me, and when I was like, yeah, well, you know, she's talking about she was once an artillery officer with the IDF, and, you know, I'm like, well, look, you may be a decent person, but what do you think about the Shemitism? I don't know if you familiar with that. I think that's Jewish Voice for Peace has been saying, here's these Israeli youth that refuse military service because they're like, you can't fool them. They see firsthand what's going on. And they say, look, if it were about defending our homeland, it wouldn't be an issue. The problem is you people are, you know, the military is harassing and abusing people, and we can't be party to that. And that takes a lot more courage than,
you're absolutely
dropping
right.
bombs and bullets at people who, you know, that's where this whole thing about these clashes, it's like, really? Well, wait a minute. Not one single Israeli has gotten injured at the hands of the Palestinians, and yet you're claiming that somehow the Palestinians were the ones drawing first blood, but there was no Israeli blood drawn at all.
And Mark, you've seen some of the videos that have been out there. One is a sniper shooting, I think, a 13-year-old boy, striking him in the head, and they're going, oh, great video, boy, that's really fantastic. You know, I mean, it was like
it was like.
People, how would you react if they go to a carny, shoot them up, and you get a doll for hitting a target so many times? I mean,
I was disgusted with. I saw this T-shirt, and it has it in English and in Hebrew, and it shows this woman in a burqa who's obviously pregnant, and the caption reads "One shot, two kills," and I'm like, and the thing I find most appalling is I'm dealing with these Zionists who are saying, well, that's obviously fake. That really didn't happen, and da-da-da. And it's obviously this person really didn't bleed out. It's like, look, people are dying, and the Zionist, the problem is that impunity brings out the worst in people. So I'm not, you know, when people like me talk about a political change, we're not talking about killing people. We're talking about changing from this counterfeit democracy where people can vote for this party or that party. You know, it's like this guy I met at my 40-year high school reunion who's a minister. He said, well, there are Palestinians who have a right to vote. Yeah, for all the difference it makes. But the thing is, there's another one. So the thing is, what difference does it make when you keep getting the same results? Because they've been negotiating for 25 years, and the Israelis are good at talking the talk, but that's about it.
Yeah.
As you can tell, I got another ride. So,
okay, Mark, I appreciate it. You're starting to cut out anyhow. I thank you for your call. This is a guy who wants to get his inheritance. He's going to start his own church. He's going to try to help other people. By the way, I posted several stories up here today about what is going on in Israel. And this, ladies and gentlemen, this is being projected from the U.S. media as it's actually Hamas that is aggravating these people to go out and protest and basically get themselves killed, because it's just Israel protecting itself again. And I am just absolutely so sick of the people that run our shop in this country, I could scream. It's beyond belief. They're throwing everything. Oh, it's, you know, it's being mixed up by Iran and Iran. Look, folks. Joe Loria says, as Israel killed more than 50 Palestinians in cold blood protesting the American embassy move on Monday. U.S. corporate media failed to accurately report what happened in Gaza, once again meekly protecting the government line, argues Joe Loria. And I'm going to have to put a little caveat in here as far as Joe Loria goes and his take on this. The Palestinians on the West Bank, what's left of that, and the greatest open-air prison called the Gaza Strip. These people have been protesting, and it's not just the embassy in Jerusalem. These people have been demonstrating for their lives. They are being killed and displaced. This has been going on for years and years and years. But they want to take the current political slant to it and throw that in. But at any rate, he says, typical in the mindset of corporate media reporting on what happened in Gaza, as Israeli soldiers killed more than 50 protesting Palestinians. In this tweet from CNN, it says death toll rises to at least 52 people during clashes along the border fence between Israel and Gaza. Palestinian officials say more than 2,400 people have been injured. CNN's new slogan is number facts first, hashtag facts first. Adam Johnson, who writes for the media watchdog Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, responded to the CNN with a tweet of his own. He said, this one's got it all. Death toll rises. No one was killed and no specific party did the killing. The death toll just merely, mysteriously rises. Clashes launders all power asymmetry, or asymmetry rather, sorry. 2,400 people have been injured. All 2,400 are Palestinian, but let's go with just the people. Craig Murray, a former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, said on his blog that he did a Google News search for the word massacre and found not one reference to Gaza. The New York Times headline on Monday said, dozens of Palestinians have died, in protest that the U.S. prepares to open its Jerusalem embassy. Journalist Glenn Greenwald responded, most Western media outlets have become quite skilled through years of practice at writing headlines and describing Israeli massacres using the passive tense so as to hide the culprit. But the all-time champion has long been and remains the New York Times. Hashtag have died. Now, perhaps because of pressure from Greenwald and others, the Times on Monday night changed its headline to Israel kills dozens at Gaza borders as U.S. embassy opens in Jerusalem. Yet another CNN headline simply read, dozens die in Gaza. Journalist Max Blumenthal responded, maybe they were old, perhaps they were very sick. They just up and died. Who will solve the mystery behind these deaths? Wow. Blumenthal later offered a possible solution to the mystery. According to the White House, Hamas launched 41 protesters into unsuspecting Israeli bullets. Projecting. Deflecting blame from Israel is one thing, but just absolutely throwing this on something else, projecting it onto the victim is quite another. Israel's UN ambassador, Danny Dannon, on Monday called for the UN Security Council to condemn Hamas for their war crimes because every casualty on the border is a direct victim of Hamas. He said in a statement released by Israel's UN mission, condemn Hamas for the war crimes they commit. Not only does Hamas incite tens of thousands of Palestinians to breach the border and hurt Israeli civilians, but Hamas also deliberately endangers Palestinian civilians. The murder of Israeli citizens or deaths of the people of Gaza, each one of them, is a desirable outcome for Hamas. Every casualty on the border is a victim of Hamas and their war crimes. Every death is a result of Hamas terror activity, and these casualties are solely Hamas's responsibility. Not the asshat through a scope with his buddies, cheering the fact that they just killed a 13-year-old kid. No weapons, no Israelis being killed. But the people that are being murdered themselves, they're the fault. You know, that's one way to wash the Israeli government blood-soaked hands in the of the matter, especially if you fear Israel will be accused of war crimes itself for the actions on Monday. Dannon mentioned breaching the border, but it's virtually impossible to get in or out of Gaza without Israeli permission. Burning kites lofted over the barrier that that pens in nearly 2 million Gazas subject to the international unrecognized economic blockade supposedly constitutes breaching in Dannon's mind. He would do well to consider the words of Moshe Dayan, one of Israel's founding founders, who said in 1956, "What cause have we to complain about their fierce hatred to us? For 80 years now, they sit in their refugee camps in Gaza, and before their eyes, we turn into our homeland, the land and villages in which they and their forefathers have lived. He went on to say, "We are a generation of settlers, and without the steel helmet and the gun barrel, we shall not be able to plant a tree or build a house. Let us not be afraid to see the hatred that accompanies and consumes the lives of hundreds of thousands of Arabs who sit all around us and wait for the moment when their hands will be able to reach our blood." So, on the day, 61 years later, when the United States declared Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and the capital of Israel by moving its embassy there, rather than leaving its status to negotiation, people still trapped in Gaza protested the gate fencing them in while Israeli military snipers picked them off, more than 50 of them, and wounded thousands more for protesting their entrapment. That's what's really at issue here. U.S. Patriots, U.S. parrots Israel, and the media parrots in the U.S. Dannon's position was callously promoted by the White House on Monday. Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah was asked several times to condemn Israel's military response. "We believe Hamas is responsible for these tragic deaths. Their rather cynical exploitation of the situation is what's leading to these deaths, and we want it stopped." He later blamed Hamas for the gruesome and unfortunate propaganda attempt. We're talking about lives being ended. We are talking about an occupation that's been going on for 80 years. We're talking about people being run out of their land. You think it's any picnic living in the West Bank if you're a Palestinian? And what these people fear the most, that they'll be the next ones moved out. And permission slips will be given for new housing settlements. Folks, this is a slow-rolling genocide. That's what this has been, and that's what this continues to be. And there's a few people in the United States that are courageous enough to point this out and to not waver. And of course we got the people that, oh my God, they should not be out of politics. They should be cooking in hell right now. Dannon's position was callously promoted by the White House on Monday, as I said, but we're not done there. No. At the ceremony opening the embassy, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, which if I have enough time, I'll get around to the new rules that you can't criticize anything Israel in South Carolina. Gee. Called Monday a monumental day in the United States-Israeli relations. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who is among four senators and 10 members of the House of Representatives present, incredulously said, "Moving the embassy furthers the chances of peace in the Middle East by demonstrating that America's support for Israel is unconditional and will not be bullied by global media opinion." Let's take the break. We'll take your calls after the bottom of the hour break. I got a lot more stuff here, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
We are back. Bill in Wisconsin. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, John. Good show tonight. You know, I heard a report on that Monday situation, but it was totally from the Israeli viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the host was just loving the ceremony. Ivanka, Jared Kushner there, Bibi Netanyahu, praising President Trump, and Sheldon Adelson there clapping, and what a great thing all this was, that, you know, the president was being appreciated in the Israeli community. All the while, as you point out, Palestinians were being shot. What disturbed me the most, well, you know, the killings, but then they were shooting the lower legs of so many of these decent protesters, because there would have to be an amputation. Mm-hmm. They can't get medical care right away anyway. So all of these things are going on, and this report is just glowing about, you know, Trump, and he's keeping his promise, and this was a beautiful ceremony, and so forth. And that report I heard on the Trump phenomenon by James Kelso.
Yeah. That we've taken a lot of heat, and I wish Trump, some people are of the opinion that the neocons have captured Trump. We'll see what happens.
Without a doubt, I saw in the news tonight, you know, Bolton is telling North Korea, we're not going to do anything to help you, and whether we, you know, we shouldn't be building up North Korea anyway, but, you know, we're not going to do anything until you send, pack all your nukes and all your program up and send it to the United States. Now, what kind of garbage is that?
That's the neocons' brand of diplomacy, is what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
Bill, appreciate your input. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Keep it up.
Thank you, sir. We're going to try. Roxanne, Texas. Hello, Roxanne.
Well, I'm very passionate about the Middle East because I lived there 6 years, and I understand their language, and many people don't, and that's okay by me. But what I do want to say, I do applaud this Trump putting the embassy over in Jerusalem, and here's why. Here's why. Because that brings the light on the Palestinian plight that people have ignored for 70 years, the decimation, the annihilation of, I have so many Palestinian friends, of what's happened over there. And he said, yeah, it's okay. And it looks like pomp and circumstance to the uninformed. Okay, stay on your inner loop. But do you know there's a grand parkway around your town? Because I know there was one here. But what's happening is, it is telling the world the Palestinians are being obliterated. And nobody has done this better in my lifetime. Because I know all my Palestinian friends. And I'll call Steve about Karen, because my South African friends had had to move to Canada, UK, Australia. When Karen comes on his show, I know about all this. I know. I've seen this since the 90s.
Yeah. Well, Roxanne, let me ask you a question here. What exactly, by moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, how is this going to help the Palestinians?
It's going to shed the light.
How?
On what Israel has been doing.
Wait
to
a minute.
Palestinians.
How? How?
They're killing.
How?
They're killing. The Israelis are picking off, or snipering, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we know.
Palestinians for years.
No. That's Roxanne. I'm going to check you on this. Okay. I'm going to ask you this question again. This has been going on with the Palestinians. This genocide. The stealing of the lands and putting them in the biggest open-air concentration camp on the face of this planet. What, and please don't repeat to me that it'll bring, with the controlled media in this country, and what Netanyahu is doing in Israel, how exactly, with the U.S. Embassy going to Jerusalem, how is this going to shed any light on anything? It's a controlled situation.
Well, Palestinians certainly don't own the media, right? It's the Jews that own the media. It's Hamas. It's always that bad boy Hamas,
yeah,
doing something bad to the wonderful, sweet Israelis.
Okay, but the physical moving...
It's in your face.
Okay, but Roxanne, the physical moving of our embassy to Jerusalem, what is that going to change?
Well, what it does is put a light on something. It doesn't change anything.
And what light, and why by that physical...
Or does it?
Or, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Or does it? How is moving the physical location of an embassy going to somehow help the Palestinians? What light is it going to shed? when this is a totally controlled and contained operation that's been going on for years?
Well, there's a video back 35 years ago of Trump talking about how he wants to fix the thing in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Go back 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Watch that video.
Okay, and all right.
And it's very clear when you listen to people that have been paying attention, and I know he's this, but what chance do we have than somebody that's doing something? I worked through some administrations. I was around all of them, but I've never seen anybody shake these people to their core. And that's all I have to offer.
All right. Well, Roxanne, my contention is by physically moving an embassy to Jerusalem, that's not going to do a damn thing for the Palestinians. The only thing this thing is going to do, it's going to strengthen the ties between Israel and the United States, which we have seen has been poisoned to millions of people. All right. I thank you for your call. Joyce in North Carolina. Hello. How you doing, Joyce?
Hi. I thought the folks would be interested in knowing Ralph Reed was over there for the opening of the embassy. I played cards with his mother-in-law, and she was very excited yesterday, telling me that he was over there, and she just couldn't wait to hear what all he had to say.
Wow.
You know Ralph Reed, right?
The name is recognizable, but I can't put it to a face or a place.
Oh, he was with the Christian Coalition.
Oh, the Eternal Young Face Boy, yes,
that's who.
So Ralphie's out there, it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And you just played cards with his mother-in-law?
His mother-in-law, yes.
Wow.
I've known them for 30 years, probably.
Did Mummy ever spank Ralph? I don't know. Hey, thanks.
No. His mother-in-law. He's married to their daughter.
All right.
Joanne, I think her name was, and. I was just reading some on the internet, on the Wikipedia, I guess it was, that something about he lives in a 2.2 million house in Atlanta. So he's done well with the Republican coalition.
There's a lot of money connecting politics to the Bible, isn't there?
Yes.
We've seen it done before. Joyce, thank you for your call, dear.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Bye.
Kevin in West Virginia. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Mr. Stoudmire. I wanted to talk to you about the Israeli embassy move to Jerusalem.
Something tells me this is not Kevin.
It's Kevin.
Okay. How do you say my last name again?
Balaam.
I'm sorry? No, my last name.
Stoudmire? Stoudmire?
Yeah. So you're not a listener to the show. Otherwise, you would understand my name. But anyhow,
ahead.
No, I am. Go ahead.
On one hand, I think it's a good move. On the other hand, I think it's a dark day. I think it's a dark day in American history. The Palestinians, by all means, have every right to have a country and every right to be recognized and have every right to exist. The same goes for Israel. You were the one lady you were talking to, Roxanne. I feel it doesn't accomplish anything. Moving the embassy did not accomplish anything but bloodshed. I don't know if this was a good move or not. I think it was a move on the neocons. I think you're right. I think your Trump has been captured by the neocons. I pray that it's not. And she was talking about the snipers. Remember the first commandment, thou shalt not murder. Sniping somebody is an offensive stance of murdering somebody. That's not self-defense. So they keep saying they're the chosen people, but look at all the war crimes that Israel is committing.
No, we understand that, and Israel keeps saying that we have the right to defend ourselves. And you know, I don't know if in recorded history the occupier and the vanquisher of another people in their land that have complained that, well, we're getting too much resistance as we rob and we steal and we displace. I mean, this is the height of hypocrisy, that the people that claimed that there were 6 million of us killed during World War II by that evil Nazi guy, and then they're turning around and they're doing the same thing.
Sure. I mean, this to me, it's like a sick joke. It almost is, and it's. I don't want to say history repeats itself, but it sure looks that way. And I'm not saying that it is, but it does look that way. I mean, you know, I don't know if a two-state solution is the right thing or not, but I'm confused on the simple fact that, you know, Clinton could have moved the embassy. Bush 1 could have moved the embassy. Bush 2 could have moved the embassy. Obama could have moved the embassy.
And why now? Yeah, and Kevin, and if you look at the West Bank, half of it, the Palestinians have been moved off and the settlements have come in. They've already lost half of the West Bank. They have the Gaza Strip. And if Israel, they don't want a two-state solution because they have said in the past that they want these Arabs gone. They want them gone. They want them to move to other Arab countries. They want them out of there. That's our land. So if there is a two-state solution, it should be the entirety of the West Bank is theirs and the Gaza Strip, which gives them access. And if you notice the way it is, now the West Bank, the reason why they call it the West Bank is the Euphrates is there. It's sitting on the Euphrates. So that is the West Bank of the Euphrates. But you have this Israeli land between the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. So they only have access to the sea from the Gaza Strip. And if there's going to be a two-state solution, there better damn well be a corridor. Get the Israelis out of the West Bank, get them the hell out of Gaza, in which there's a lot of Jewish citizens, by the way, in Gaza as well. Get the hell out of there. Let's build this corridor that you do not touch. It's going to allow us access to the sea. But that is a moot point because the argument itself is fallacious. The Israelis do not want the Palestinians. They don't want peace. They want them the hell out of there. Kevin, I thank you for your call, sir. I appreciate it. By the way, the pronunciation of it's a German name, Stadt, and I'm not asking you to do it the German style, Stadtmüller, but Stadtmüller is the name. Thank you for your call, Kev. All right. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. I don't usually call you twice in 1 week, but I had to when I heard about this whole the commenters on the move of the embassy.
Mm.
Obviously, everything's planned, and there's multiple reasons when they do these crazy things. And I kind of think we need to maybe find some wealthy patriot who is a Christian who can fund patriotic former military like these Blackwater guys, but on our side, and we need to arm those people up over there.
Well, but that if you look at the chessboard, the only thing this is going to do, there have been no people, no Palestinians, during this month-long clash. Their protests started back in March. Not one Israeli citizen has been hurt or killed. If you, doing as you suggest, we send people in there for arms to resist militarily against the Israelis, what the hell do you think is going to happen to those Israelis? Are those Palestinians? I'm sorry for the misspoke.
Well, you either go down swinging or you go down looking. You either get shot protesting and nobody talks about it, or you fight back. The whole thing breaks my heart. It makes me so sad that humanity is this way.
Well,
and people don't know the Balfour Agreement, the Greater Israel Project, and so they say that this may be a good move. This is a horrible thing, and our president's a horrible person.
And let me ask you a question. Because, Mike, you know me, and you've been listening to this program for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Was there have been, maybe it exceeds 4 million, but 4 million is a conservative number, 17 years of war waged on the Middle East because these evil despots had to go. You know, the Muammar Gaddafis of the world, the Saddam Husseins, the Assads, the this, the that. Do you see, is there any other explanation that you can offer other than what I did as to what the project or what the real mission is in the Middle East?
No.
I don't either.
No, you nailed it.
And once you get to that point that you're the wise guy and you're wise in your own eyes and you're prudent in your own sight and you don't make any mistakes and here it is and that's just the way it is. These arguments cannot be challenged. I have looked at this and I've questioned it. I've danced around it. I've looked at it from different angles, and I keep arriving at the same damn conclusion.
Well, and by the same vein, let me ask you a question. When you watched The Greatest Story Never Told, did it change your perspective, or did you say, okay, given all I know about history, now I can see it's different than I thought it was?
Well, let me answer your question this way. I thought I knew. That's why I said when I was done watching, and this is for some people,
I cried too.
For some people it's a Herculean effort just to sit still for an hour. You know, they'll sit down and watch a movie for entertainment, and they'll sit there and watch it for 2 or 3 hours, and, you know, goody for me, and is there any more popcorn left? But with something like this, I mean, 6 hours and 15 minutes, and I've said this before, and folks, this is the honest to God's truth. On a Sunday night at 11 o'clock, I started watching this. And my honest reaction to this initially, I thought, man, this is one hell of a propaganda piece. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to stick this out. I'm going to be fair, I can't pass an opinion or an assessment on something unless I really get in there. So I did. And as you just said, 6 hours and 15 minutes later, I'm standing in my kitchen, Monday morning, the sun's coming up, and there's tears coming down my face because I didn't know 90% of what was in that video. And I thought I knew.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about this whole Palestinian issue, too.
It's
and I think back to Sean Connery's character in that FBI propaganda movie where they were getting rid of the gangsters, and he says, you know, they put one of ours in the hospital, we put one of theirs in the morgue. I mean, there's a point where humanity has got to, I can't use the word, but they're going to have to stand up, and people, we're good creatures. God made us to be nice creatures, and we don't want to hurt each other. But when that other side is pulling this kind of stuff on people, we have to try to stop it. And I don't know how else to do it.
Okay, let me catch you on this one. Do you remember the first 10 minutes of Space Odyssey, 2001 Space Odyssey? Remember what the monkeys did?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
All
Thanks
right.
Thanks for taking my call, John.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Mike, refresh my screen because it's blank over here. Refreshing. I'm sorry, say again. Larry in Washington. Hello, Larry.
Hi, John. Boy, some of the comments that have followed in the last 10, 15 minutes are so spot on. I do believe that embassy move into Jerusalem is just another way to ignite that war, that Third World War that Albert Pike talked about happening.
You may be.
I may be exactly right.
I
don't
right.
trust Trump anymore.
Yeah. Well, and it's been said, and this is the Gudnick part of this, that, you know, this will be a place where the Arabs and the Christians and the Jews can all come together.
Never will happen now.
No.
Never.
No. And I've been watching Iran here, and I've been watching their reaction to what's been happening. And he said it. And I want to say the guy's name is Rabini, but I may be wrong on that. But it's the Grand Poobah over there. And he basically said this. He said, look, if the United States attacks Iran, the only thing that we have left is what is left of the Arab nations over here that want to be free, want to be sovereign, have their own country, maintain their own culture, maintain their own societies. We're going to have to band together. And therein lies your recipe for more war and more death. The Israelis don't have enough, and it will never be enough for them. And I do believe 100% that I am accurate. If I, to the contrary, somebody has some concrete, ironclad, can't be argued proof that this whole thing is not about greater Israel and expand.
Totally.
Yeah. And if anybody's got a counter argument to that, that's 100% ironclad, that will change my mind. And again, I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to be accusatory. I want to be accurate in my assessment, not just a viewpoint or an opinion offered from my point of view. I've walked all around this. I've looked underneath it. I've looked from top down, from every angle. And this is the only thing that I see, Larry. That's the only thing.
I have a book that I've had for 30 years, probably. It's called In Their Own Words.
Yeah.
And it has quotes of rabbis from a long time ago. And basically, my son finally listened to the protocols, and I've talked to him, and he says, you know, Dad, look at it. It's right here, right now.
Yes, it is.
And you look at it, it cannot be any, it can't be the Muslims invading America. Hell, if I was a Muslim, I'd hate America for what they've done all over the world.
We've only killed 4 million, and that's the ones we know about in the Middle East. And for what reason? For what reason? That they were somehow...
Stop it.
Well, yeah, but as claimed by the neocons and the latest installment here, it's, you know, these are bad guys and these are terrorists. You know,
well,
I just...
That's right.
God
that's
almighty.
The boogeyman now.
Yeah, it is. Hey, Larry, thanks for your call.
You bet, John.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Bye. Yeah, this is one story I wanted to get around to, but... These snipers, they're using special bullets over there to shoot the legs of the Palestinians. And what damage this is doing, and it's almost like a long-range wad cutter. And what it's doing, they're aiming for from the legs. If they're a poor shot, they hit below the knee. If they're a good shot, they're hitting above the knee. And what this is causing is fist-size gunshot wounds that are totally shattering and blowing bone fragments all over the desert sands. Folks, death has been so easy for people to accommodate and just look at it and go, oh, yeah. We're living in a world that's being promulgated by those that worship death and want more of it. At any rate, thank you all for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you being here. Hopefully tomorrow you'll be back and you'll bring some friends with you. Love and respect is going to be the oil that takes the friction out of all this chaotic crap, and hopefully that prevails. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.